Yet not I, but through Christ in me. When the race is complete, my lips shall still repeat. Amen? That's what I want. When it comes to my last breath, that's what I want to say. My last breath. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Y'all are a little worried this morning. You look a little worried, I think, maybe, because I've brought my Bible, I brought a hymnal, and I brought a bottle of water. So, and I am coming off a relaxing vacation. So I am a bit refreshed and rejuvenated, and so there may well be a wellspring inside of me that will come out this morning. But thankfully, I know you're thankful that I didn't bring a normal size bottle of water. It's just a short one. So, amen? All right, good. I'm trying to get y'all warmed up this morning so you can say amen. Again, I just want to say thank you to Miss Brenda this morning for singing that song. And as always, Miss Kathy and Miss Sherry, you've been playing throughout this time. And it's been different for us. And I just want to just say thank you for that. I want to say thank you to those that are up in our balcony, Kelsey and Jason, and Don's there this morning. Kelvin's up there at times, and Blake's up there at times. So those who are behind the scenes running the media and the sound, they do such a great job. It's just been a different season for us here at Second Baptist Church, and I always want to give thanks where thanks is due. So I appreciate all your hard work and your working with us and your patience with us, most importantly. So anyway, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, we're going to be looking at a very, I would say, a familiar passage of Scripture to you. This is the call that Jesus gives to the disciples. What I will refer to in just a moment, some requirements. I've entitled this message, The Reckoning. And sometimes when you see that word, The Reckoning, you think of something foreboding, don't you? Think of something that maybe is even disastrous. But what I want you to see this morning is that a reckoning is merely a calculation of the cost. We used to have that, and sometimes you still hear it when somebody says, you know, one thing or another, and they it's like a truth. And most of the time, when you're watching westerns, you would hear this word, well, I reckon so. Anybody remember? I reckon so. We don't use that word very often anymore, I reckon so, but it is merely a calculation of the cost. The reckoning this morning, when I think about the calculation of a cost, I think about children at times when they want something. They see it in the store, or I say in the store. We don't go to the store much now during this pandemic, do we? We see it online. Say we see it online, and you see it in maybe on. I don't want to say necessarily anything in particular, but most of us look at Amazon, right? And we look there, and we see the cost. And sometimes with children, they look at that cost, and they're like, Daddy or Mommy, can I get this? And well, it costs so-and-so amount. And well, if I do my chores and I do this and I do this, you know, they start reckoning the cost of what it would take in order to get that item, whatever it may be. They're calculating what it would take in order to receive what it is that they want. And when I think about a disciple of Jesus Christ, there are some things that we need to reckon, we need to calculate in order to be truly disciples of Jesus Christ. And I believe Jesus conveys this morning here in this passage of Scripture. If you're watching online, the notes are there for you. If you're here today, you can go to the YouVersion Bible app and you can search events and you can see the notes there, or if you go online you can see them. You can follow along today. I've tried to make it easy with the points and with the blanks so if you in every blank just about you can know that there's going to be some sort of R word in that this morning. So I'm kind of giving a head start. So the reckoning. So if you'll let's pause for just a moment and read this passage of Scripture The scripture will be online. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible this morning. I know Pastor Chris normally does through the New King James Version. This is the main Bible that I use, so I'll be reading from it this morning. Jesus says here, "Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me will save it. For what does it benefit someone if he gains the whole world and yet loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and that of the Father and the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for your grace and your mercy once again. Thankful for the time that we had to sing praise to you. And I pray that, God, that as we've lifted our voices, that you have been pleased with what you have heard. Now, Father, may you speak to us through your word. I pray that as we look at this passage of Scripture, and we see the requirements of a disciple, I pray that we'll reckon the cost and we'll find it worth it. And we'll follow hard after you all the days of our lives. We love you and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The reckoning this morning, calculating the cost. Throughout life, we calculate various costs. What it is, sometimes if we're looking at purchasing a new car or a new home, we look at our finances and we see whether or not it is something that we can actually do. And Jesus actually talks about this in one passage of Scripture where he references an individual who is going to build something. And he talks about this individual and says, doesn't he first calculate all the costs that he will incur from that project? Otherwise, he gets halfway through and realizes he does not have the funds and he becomes a mockery to those around him. So this is an idea that Jesus, throughout his teaching, he brings forth when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus, what it takes, what is required. And so that brings me to the main idea this morning, that there are requirements for being a disciple of Jesus. I'm going to read to you a quote from A.W. Tozer I came across a few weeks ago, and I felt it was very poignant for the message today. He says, "How rare it is in our day to hear of genuine repentance." There's another good R word, repentance. As we're reckoning the cost, we do have to repent. That's what the Bible says. Even Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he says, repent and be baptized. Repent and believe. That was the message of the early Christians, and it's our message today when we share the gospel, repentance. He says, we live amid a proud, a selfish, and self-sufficient people. And when I saw that, a proud, self-sufficient people, I was thinking, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow him. Proud, selfish, self-sufficient. Even in our Christian churches, there are those who want nothing more than to be known as respectable church members. When repentance is real and faith is genuine, the atoning death of Jesus Christ is effective for pardon and forgiveness and regeneration. Amen? When we go to God and we say, I repent of my sins, and it is genuine, forgiveness and pardon come in, and our faith, it's made whole, isn't it? Through Jesus Christ. There are requirements for being a disciple. And I think the key question this morning as we look at this, and I think we find it here at the end of this passage, and as we calculate the cost, many times within the calculation, we think about what is going to be the end game, per se. When we calculate whether or not this will be good for us or what will benefit us from gaining this or that, it's more like a reward. So I think the question is of the text, where will your rewards be? I think as Jesus, as he conveyed these requirements, and as he at the end here of this passage, he talks about the kingdom of God. He talks about how someone who goes only for themselves, they might gain the world, but they might lose their soul. So what is your reward this morning? Where will your rewards be found? So it takes me to the text, and I have three different points, three different resolutions of a disciple of Jesus. If we want to follow Jesus, I believe that we must be resolved to do certain things. And the first one this morning, we see it in verse 23 and verse 24. It says, I believe we must be resolved to move from self-regard to self-reproach. From self-regard to self-reproach. Listen to what he says back in verse 23. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself. Listen to what also he says in verse 24. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will save it. So here's this idea when I looked at this text that if I think highly of myself, I have regard for myself. I have regard for what I think is true. I have regard for how I feel I should live my life. And today, in our society, when it is a self-first society, we have to, even as Christ followers, that idea creeps in to our walk with Jesus. And just as Miss Brenda saying, it's not me, but Christ, but through Christ in me. It's about a reproach of self instead of regard. It's thinking less of me and more of Him. John the Baptist, when he was confronted about the fact that Jesus' disciples were baptizing more than John was, he says, that's the way it should be. He says, I must decrease and he must increase. And that's what we're talking about this morning when we look at this idea of denying ourselves, moving from self-regard to self-reproach. That doesn't mean that we think bad of ourselves per se. What we do is we disregard what we think is right. The New American Commentary says this: this mandates a rejection of a life based on self-interest and self-fulfillment. Instead, a disciple is to be one who seeks to fulfill the will and the teachings of Christ. As a Christ follower, that should be our goal, is to seek to fulfill the will and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Some may be watching this morning online or even here in this sanctuary, you would say, well, I don't even know what you're talking about, Jonathan, as what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. I have never considered Him in my life. In fact, I've been living my life the way I see fit, because that's the way society tells me. In fact, society says that you can save yourself. That's one of the things that I think Jesus is referring to here. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. What we don't understand in life, it's not about all the good that we can accrue. It's not about the works that we do here that matter. It's about whether or not we believe in what Christ has already done for us on the cross. We must move from thinking we can help our predicament and accept that we are to blame for our sin. We can do nothing about it, but thank God He has already done something. You know, the Bible tells us that we as human beings are prone to go after our own way. I had several passages of Scripture, so be thankful I didn't include them all this morning, or we'd be here a long time. Proverbs 14:12 says this: there is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is a way to death. The Bible over and over again proclaims that we will go our own way. We're told this even in fast food options. Have it your way. Have it your way, right? Am I? There is a song to go your own way. Anybody remember that? Anybody? No? All right, I see some heads nodding this morning. At home, you're probably saying, don't try to sing that again. But those are things that we hear. And it's ingrained in our minds that we can have our own way, that we should go our own way. But the Bible tells us that there is a way that seems right to me, but it leads only to death. And I must accept that to be true in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. When I gave my heart to Jesus when I was almost 8 years old on January 3rd, 1982, at about 8:30 on a Sunday evening after church, my dad was kneeling beside me. We were kneeling beside their bed, and I repented of my sins. I said, I am no longer going my own way. I no longer wanted to have it my way, because my way leads to death. Father, your way leads to life. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not me, but through him. You know. Just seeing if you're awake this morning. We have to understand that it's not about what we think is right, but it is about what God says is right. The Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 3, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. And here's Romans 3:23, we know this one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by His grace. Did you see that? Did you hear that this morning? Justified freely. It's not about me doing what I think is best. It's about me believing and trusting in what God has already done for me. And that free gift of salvation comes into my life. They are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented Him as the mercy seat by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. God presented Him to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time so that He would be just and justify the one who has faith in Jesus. The only way that we are justified in our lives is through Jesus Christ. We cannot go our own way. It leads to death. The way in Jesus Christ leads to life. And we must move from self-regarding our own way to reproaching that way, disregarding that way, and saying, I will follow the way of Jesus Christ through the cross. You know, one of the things that distinguishes Christianity from all the religions in the world today is the cross of Jesus Christ. The fact that the Son of God died on the behalf of all mankind so that we might have salvation through Him and not by works, lest any man should boast, right? Isn't that what Scripture tells us? We cannot go our own way. So as a disciple, we must move from self-regard to self-reproach. You may be here this morning and you might be saying, I am not a disciple, but I hear what you're saying and I need to move. I need to stop thinking. Even online, you may be watching today and you need to, for the very first time, consider the way of Jesus Christ that He leads you to the cross so that you can lay your burden of sin down, because it was upon Him that God placed the sin of all mankind so that we might become the righteousness of God. And if that's you this morning, you don't have to wait till the end of the message. You can, even now, that even as I am speaking, you can pray and call out to God, I want to follow you. I don't want to follow my way any longer. I repent of my ways. A.W. Tozer says this again, the gospel invitation is offered freely to one and all, but many are too preoccupied to hear or heed. They never allow God's call to become a reason for decision. As a result, they live out their entire lives insisting they never heard any call from God. The answer to that is plain. God has been trying to get through to them, but engrossed in a host of worldly pursuits, their line is always busy. The world around us wants to put us in the same straitjacket that would have kept Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. We will talk to you about religion, is a seemingly kindly offer people give us today. But then they add the disclaimer, just don't make religion personal. Most people seem to have come to terms with an acceptance of religion if it does not have the cross of Christ within it. But when God calls men and women to believe that Christ has given us the only way to God through faith, through His death, and through His atonement, their faith will be an offense to the world. It was so in Abraham's day, and it is so in our day. God's invitation is to all. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Stop your worldly pursuits and pursue after the one and only one who can give you life. All right, that's the first one. Let's take a drink of water right now. Y'all need a rest? All right. Let's go to point two. I told you my heart was a little full this morning. This message has been marinating for about 2 or 3 weeks. So there you go. Second resolution, we must be resolved to move from self-retainment to self-resignation. Listen to what he says in verse 23 again. He says, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself. We disregard who we are, our way. Take up his cross daily. Take up his cross daily. Now, we would agree that at times, especially in the early church, individuals, for believing in Jesus Christ, it cost them their very lives, their physical lives. But when you add this word daily, it's not so much a reference to your physical life, but your spiritual life, daily. It's about everything that I am, I put on the cross so that Christ can live through me. The cross wasn't about self-promotion or self-affirmation. The person carrying a cross knew they couldn't save themselves and that self was destined to die. That self was destined to die. So that's why Jesus says, take up your cross daily. Take up your cross daily. We must move from allowing our old life, our sinful self, to have a say in our daily life and daily die to self so Christ can live in and through us. Paul says this quite well in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about me retaining what I once had before I met Jesus Christ. It's about me resigning those things. It's about me removing those things, per se, in my life. Paul talks about this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 17. I know that this is a lengthy passage of Scripture, but I believe it really gives us this view, this perspective of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to take up our cross daily. He talks about the things that we are to put away, and then those things that we are to put on. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature, Paul says. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now, also put away all the following. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. I like that. Let's pause for just a moment. You are being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of your Creator. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, when we repent of our sins and we deny ourselves and we take up that cross, God begins to recreate us so that we no longer look like our sinful self. We begin to look more and more like Jesus Christ each and every day. In Christ. Now listen to this. I find it interesting that in the midst of talking about what we're to put away and what we're to put on, Paul talks about labels that we have in our society. He says, in Christ there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian and Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. Now, these are man-made distinguishing factors, if you will, for an individual. These are labels that we give to one another, but the label that Paul says here in this passage, that as a follower of Jesus, the label that is on every Christian around the world today is Christ. That is the only label that matters, because He is all and in all. We are no longer identified with self. We're identified with Him. And so all these identifying factors, that these labels that we put on one another, they no longer have any bearing on our lives. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thing? That means that no one can label me, because God has labeled me in Jesus Christ. That's so freeing. So that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore what people say about me, because it only matters what God has said and what He is saying in this moment. He says, you are in Christ. Jonathan, because 1983, when you kneeled, and in that moment, and you repented, and you stood up, and in that moment, you were changed, you were transformed, and from that point forward, you had the label of Jesus Christ on your life. That is your identifying factor. All right, that was free. I wasn't planning on doing that, but isn't that wonderful? Isn't that interesting? Here in the midst of this, it's because you put away all these other things that are associated with all these other labels that people may put on you in life. Now that you have this label of Jesus Christ on you, listen to what He has to say. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also are to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ, to which you were once, that which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. You see, all these things are now what would come under that identifying factor of being in Jesus, this compassion, this love, this peace. All these things that are from God, that are of God, are now to be put in our lives. And let me tell you something. It's not that we go and we go to Amazon and we put compassion and humility in our cart, because what we do is we pray to our holy God and say, have mercy on me. And allow me to be a conduit of your love and your compassion and your gentleness and your humility in the world around me. And I know that when that happens, that the peace of God will rule in my heart. It will rule in the hearts of His people here at Second Baptist Church and around the world. Because these are things that we're putting on. And He says, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Giving thanks to God, because we don't have to be labeled as we once were. We are now labeled by Jesus Christ and all the things of Him. Move from self-retainment to self-resignation. Don't retain those things any longer. Resign. Say, I resign from self. And maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe there's some things that you of old that you need to say, I do not want to retain them any longer. If you're like us, and I'm not going to describe all the things that we have accrued over our 23 years of marriage, but we have accrued things, right? And for us, we have a garage and even closets full of individual, different things in which we've retained over the years. Things that we, I don't know, my closet per se. I'll be personal. My closet, I have shirts in there from years ago. I probably never will wear them again. I go through my closet every once in a while and I look at that shirt and it has a meaning or a memory associated with it. And has anybody done this before? You have a memory associated with it, so you struggle with whether or not to. See, for me, let me classify this for a little bit. I have a drawer in my chest of drawers that are full of old shirts. Okay, so here's what I do. I get a new shirt. I go through and you only have so many hangers and you can't buy any new ones, because if you buy any new ones, you have to build a bigger closet, right? So I have to go through and I have to look and see. Okay, this one. Oh, but I remember that. I can't put that in this drawer over here. This is like the step down, right? Before you put it in a bag to give it to Marva or be in the yard sale. Did anybody do it? I'm weird. I know that. Nobody else does this probably in here or online. But I retain things because they have a memory associated. And let me tell you something. The desires of past, there are memories associated with them. Are you following me this morning? That we hang on to. And because of that, we retain those things in our lives and we don't resign them and say, I don't need that any longer because I have something better in Jesus Christ. Retain them no longer. Resign and go for the things. Reach toward that goal of Jesus Christ. All right. That was confession this morning, 101. Let's move to point number three. Bob Hope's like, yes, sir. Thank you very much indeed. Our third resolution this morning. We need to be resolved to move from self-reliance to self-removal. Listen to what he says here in verse 23. He says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Go to verse 26. For whoever is ashamed of me, in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in glory, and that of the Father and the holy angels. When Jesus says this in verse 26, this is another way of saying to disown me or to not acknowledge me any longer. Whoever disowns me or doesn't acknowledge me. When I think about self-reliance and moving from that to self-removal. I think about we had to do this before we met Jesus Christ. We had to not rely on our understanding of what it takes to be right in the eyes of God. We have to rely on what Jesus says it takes to be right in the eyes of God. But after a while in our lives, I think we kind of allow that mentality to creep back in. Whatever it may be, this reliance upon our works, whatever it might be, to look like a respectable church member, right? to pay our tithes, which is a good thing, to pray and read our Bible, which are good things. And these are activities that I believe all Christians, all disciples of Jesus should engage in. But if it's just about these things and it's not about cultivating that relationship with God, they are empty this morning. Those things come from an overflow of our devotion to Jesus Christ to say, I will follow you. Not ashamed to be acknowledged, to be acknowledged with Jesus Christ. We must move from going our own way and follow Jesus only. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways know Him or acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Trust God's hand in your life. When we think about denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily and following Him, that means that we totally trust His leadership in our lives. It's not about what I think will make me better in life. It's about what God. Now, I will say that God, through His Holy Spirit, He works within our hearts and our minds to help us to be able to see what makes us better, right? But that's where prayer and reading the Bible come in to give us that knowledge so that we can be renewed. We can be recreated in the image of our Creator. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 says this. This is how we know that we know Him. If we keep His commands, the one who says, I have come to follow Him, and yet doesn't keep His commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly in him, the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in Him. The one who says he remains in Him should walk as Jesus walked. We should follow Him wherever He should lead. It doesn't matter if it's like, I failed to mention this morning, Brant and Kara Bauman, they're with us with their daughter, and they're expecting a second here within the month. Amen. But they followed God to Italy to work on the mission field. And they are back here, and they're hoping that in January they will go back on the mission field. And I don't mean to necessarily point them out so that y'all can pat them on the back, but they're an example of following hard after God. Just like you and I do each and every day, if you go to work and God has called you to that job, follow Him hard in your job. And allow Him to use you to be a light in that situation, so that others might want to follow Him. So that others might come to see the value and they can calculate the cost. They can reckon what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And they will choose to deny themselves. They will choose to take up their cross daily. And they will choose to follow Jesus Christ. So what are the results of this reckoning? I think Jesus gives us here in verse 27. The results of the reckoning, of reckoning the requirements, will be heavenly rewards. Let me say it again. The results of reckoning the requirements will be heavenly rewards. Verse 27 says, truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Now immediately in this context, we understand, most scholars understand, this is a reference to Peter, James, and John when they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus before them was transformed into His glory, and they beheld His glory in that moment. But even now, that as we see this, until they see the kingdom of God, let me tell you something. That is the reward, is it not? Following hard after Jesus, denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily, and following Him, the reward is that one day we will see the kingdom of God in its fullness. Even now, our prayer is, your will be done, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. But we know that it won't be completely here on earth just yet. But one day, Jesus will return and He will set up His earthly kingdom, and His kingdom will truly come. and we will see the kingdom of God, and our reward will be there. And now, let me tell you something. I know the Bible talks about crowns, right? And I'll refer to one in just a moment. But let me tell you something. My reward will be to see my Savior Jesus Christ, my Lord, face to face. And I will be able to thank Him for what He did for me on the cross 2,000 years ago. He willingly went to the cross so that I might live. That will be my reward. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, no one can lay any foundation other than what has been laid down. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. The fire will test the quality of each one's work. So we have this idea that what we do here on this earth, there are things that are going to be considered gold, silver, and precious stones, but there are also things that are going to be considered wood, hay, and stubble. And those are the things that will be tested by the fire. And what comes out on the other side will be those precious stones, the gold and silver that's refined by fire. The wood, hay, and stubble will be consumed. And then he says this, if anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. Amen. What we do here on this earth for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the gospel, to advance the kingdom of God, those are the things that will be tested by the fire, and that will be reward. But let me tell you something, that if you haven't read Revelation, what's going to happen is we're going to return those rewards to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to lay down those crowns before Him, because He is the one who deserves all glory, honor, and praise. Not me for what I did here, because it's not me, but it's through Christ in me this morning. Paul, nearing the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close." And the time for the end of this sermon is close, isn't it? "I have fought the good fight," he says. "I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all those who have loved His appearing." You know, the end of this verse, that when it says, "reserved for the crown of righteousness," I think about the song I believe we sang last week, "The Solid Rock," "when He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne." That's the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness is Jesus Christ on our lives. Amen? That excites me. I long for that day. Do you? Where will your rewards be? Are they just here on this earth? Or are they reserved in heaven for you? We answer the call of Jesus this morning. There's a hymn we sing at times when we close a service. "Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. He drew me closer to His side. I sought His will to know. And in that will I now abide wherever he leads, I'll go. It may be through the shadows dim or o'er the stormy sea. I take my cross and I follow him wherever he leadeth me. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my master, he's Lord and King. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Is that your song this morning? Have you reckoned the cost? Because he calls us to lead, to go wherever he leads. Won't you? For some of you this morning, he's leading you to the cross. For the very first time, won't you come? Won't you come? Repent. Ask him to forgive you. Lay your burdens down. Give your heart to him. The Bible says he will take your sin away. Go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for what you did for us through Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that through the proclamation of your word, your Spirit move in the hearts of those that may be lost. And maybe they've never come to the cross before. I pray that your Spirit would lead them to the foot of the cross. And they would lay their burdens down and they would give their hearts to Jesus this morning. And if that's you this morning, whether here or online, you may be ready. You may be saying, yes, I'll go wherever he leads. And I know that the first step is for me to deny myself, deny my thoughts of what it means to be good and right in the eyes of God. And I'm ready. And if you're ready this morning, you can do that by praying to God. And you could say something like, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I know I can't make it right. But I know that Jesus took my place on the cross. He took my sins there. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I deny myself this morning. I deny my way. And I want to follow you. and make you boss, master, and Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. That's you this morning. You said that prayer there online or here in this place. I want to encourage you to let us know by texting the number at the top of the screen if you're watching online, or you can contact us here. You can let me know at the end of the service. We want to celebrate with you and encourage you and to help you as you take up your cross daily. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're retaining some things. Maybe this morning your prayer is, God, I resign from those things. I'm not going to rely on myself anymore. I'm removing my will and replacing it with yours. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. May it be, wherever you lead, I'll go. Father, truly, that's our prayer this morning. Wherever you lead, we'll go. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.